When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Date Night Movie Podcast. I am your host, Patrick Russell, and with me is my co-host, Ashley Russell.
Hi, just the wife here.
This is a show where on each episode, Ashley and I, we talk about a new movie that's playing in theaters, and then we break it down whether we thought it was good or bad, and whether or not it would make for a good date movie. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about The Lost City, which is a romantic comedy starring Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. And speaking of comedies, you and I made a comedy of our own called Tiny Dancers, which is a feature-length movie that people can stream right now on Prime Video.
Watch it.
And when I say comedy, I really mean a laugh out loud, bust a gut, shit your pants type of comedy, right? So if you could use a laugh, and who couldn't these days?
I mean, seriously.
Then check out our film, Tiny Dancers, which is streaming right now on Prime Video.
Don't forget the shit your pants part.
So, The Lost City, you know, this is an original movie, though it seems loosely inspired by Romancing the Stone. That was a 1984 movie that starred Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner. But here we've got Sandra Bullock, who plays a romance novelist named Loretta Sage.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think we've seen Bullock on the big screen since Ocean's 8.
Well, it's been a while, but I think she goes in and out of being on hiatus. I think she likes being at home with her kids.
Yeah.
I think that's just a priority for her now. I mean, she doesn't need to work.
She's done a couple of Netflix movies in the last couple of years.
Oh, Birdcage.
Bird Box. I haven't even seen it.
It was a movie.
It was. Yeah. And there's another one, right? Like the Defendant.
The Unforgivable.
Which kind of came and went last year, but you saw it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a decent drama. It was suspenseful. It was good.
No awards.
I know. Of course, the award shows don't give it to the movies that deserve them.
Well,
you know, but that's for our Oscar episode. We'll have a discussion.
How dare you say that about West Side Story? About Power of the Dog.
People love West Side Story.
These are beloved films.
I mean.
But Sandra Bullock, she's had a great career going back to the 90s. Do you have a favorite Sandra Bullock movie?
I do. I've got a couple. Okay. I'm excited about this. So Miss Congeniality is a good one for me, for teenage Ashley.
What about the sequel?
Yeah, I could do the sequel. The Heat was a good one.
Yeah.
And then The Proposal with my beloved Ryan Reynolds.
So you dig her romantic comedies.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. She's been in some great films. My personal two favorites would be Speed and Gravity. I think those are two of the shortest titles also. But yeah, I love me some Speed and Gravity.
God, I hated that movie.
No. Stop it. Stop it.
I got nauseous watching that movie.
She's really good in it. And it's an excellent film. But yeah, she's done it all. I mean, she's won, you know, an Oscar for The Blind Side, you know, comedy, drama.
Yeah, The Blind Side. Duh. That was a good one, too.
She was also in Crash. You remember that movie?
Is that the drug movie?
There's racism in L.A. and like Brendan Fraser's in it and Ludacris.
Oh, no.
It won like Best Picture that year.
Did it really?
Yes. Yeah, she was in that also. But yeah, she's been kicking ass for a good while. So
what are some flops?
Oh, she's had All About Steve.
Oh, what on? Ew.
Our Brand is Crisis. Premonition. The Lake House.
Oh, The Lake House is good. I like The Lake House. It was cute.
Well,
not her worst.
Probably not the worst. But no, yeah, she's had some flops. But no, I've always been a fan. I mean, since Speed, since like While You Were Sleeping. I think While You Were Sleeping kind of solidified her romantic comedy chops. But yeah, so in this film, she's playing this character, Loretta. And this character has a series of romance novels that's kind of centered on this fictional character, Dash, who's depicted on the cover art as kind of like a Fabio type with long hair. He's ultra hunky. And he's played here by Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
And so as this movie starts, Loretta is going on a book tour, but she's kind of a recluse, we establish, and she doesn't really even enjoy writing these books anymore. She's kind of just anxious to
write it off. The romance left her because her husband died.
Right.
And so her husband was a big part of helping her write. And it'll come into play later in the movie.
Her husband was an explorer?
Was an archaeologist, yeah.
Okay.
That could read hieroglyphics and things like that.
Do we know how he dies?
No, it's just like a picture moment that she's like mining for, and you kind of get that.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all established pretty early. I mean, the opening act moves really quick. And so, yeah, at this press event, we kind of get like this wacky mishap where she gets her watch caught in Dash's wig, and they kind of like eat shit onto the floor. And it's
just some shenanigans.
It's kind of a funny scene.
Yeah.
And that kind of establishes their
she can't stand him.
Yeah, they're kind of,
he wants to please her.
It's established pretty quickly. Yeah. He has a crush on her.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Of course.
It's Sandra Bullock. Yeah. So okay, so then after this scene where they kind of like spaz out in front of the press, immediately after, she's kidnapped by Daniel Radcliffe, who plays a guy named Abigail Fairfax.
Yes.
And he's just this eccentric billionaire who believes that the lost city of D, that's depicted in her most recent book, is real.
Yeah.
And he needs her help to find it.
Well, not to find the... Well, here he found the lost city. That's not what... He wanted to find the headdress. The headdress of fire, or like the...
What does he need her for?
So they could go and decipher the clues.
So like, he knows where it is.
Yeah. He knows where the city is.
He just can't find like the specific tomb or
exactly.
Whatever. Okay. And this romance novelist is the key.
Yeah.
So yeah. So there's that scene. And Dash, whose real name is Alan?
Alan.
Yeah,
all names.
That's Channing Tatum. And
Loretta
so,
and Alan.
Yeah.
Like, let's go back to the 1960s.
Well, this movie has kind of like an old school screwball comedy kind of vibe. Yeah, it definitely old school in a lot of ways. But Alan, he happens to see her getting kidnapped. And he kind of works with her like manager slash agent, Beth, who's played by Divine Joy Randolph.
She was good.
To get her back.
Yeah, I like the agent.
Sure, yeah. She was good. And they're kind of working together to figure out where she went, because Daniel Radcliffe literally just like flies her off in a jet to this lost city. Do we know where the lost city is? Like, what?
It's in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. So
we don't know specifically.
I don't know. It's just like an island in the.
It's not like Costa Rica or anything. They don't name a specific. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's just a lost city.
Well, it's an island in the Atlantic Ocean.
So Dash and Beth, they end up calling on a specialist named Jack Traynor.
Yes.
Who is played by Brad Pitt. And he helps them locate her through her smartwatch.
He is the real life Dash.
Yeah. The guy that Dash is portrayed to be.
Yeah.
This is who this guy actually is. Yeah. And Brad Pitt does a great job.
Awesome.
Playing
job.
This guy. He kind of.
He's the best in this film.
His scenes. Yeah. Yeah. He basically has like one extended scene, and it's. Easy highlight of the movie. It's kind of a problem because like the movie peaks kind of early.
We'll get into that later.
But Dash, he kind of goes off and he meets up with Jack Traynor, and you know, we'll kind of save what happens after that for spoilers. Mm-hmm. But just kind of like broad thoughts, what did you think of The Lost City?
It started off good, and then I got disinterested as the movie went on. Maybe it was the vodka tonics that I was drinking, but
you did have a double.
I did have a double.
Yeah.
But it didn't really hold my attention.
Well, the story is
I love Daniel Radcliffe as the villain.
The story's pretty contrived and far-fetched and predictable, really.
It is predictable.
Ultimately. So in a movie like this, you're really counting on the cast to kind of generate the chemistry and
And you know,
it just called your attention.
Sandra Bullock and Channing, they had decent chemistry. I wouldn't say like it was amazing.
It's not like one for the books.
No.
But they hold the screen together.
It wasn't like her and Ryan Reynolds. And Ryan Reynolds had amazing chemistry.
Do you think that's a better pairing?
That was a better pairing
than her and Channing.
I think
Channing's pretty good in this. I mean, he's good with comedy. Yeah. And he's bringing the comedy. I mean,
I thought it was okay.
Mediocre.
I wasn't blown away. I don't remember having like those laugh out loud belly laugh moments.
I think I remember during like the whole Brad Pitt stretch, you saying, "I'm loving this. I love this. This is hilarious." I think you said that out loud. And then it really just flatlined after that.
They didn't keep it up.
I mean, the Brad Pitt sequence, we can go into it a little bit, but like he tells Channing to stay by the car and Channing doesn't. And there's this ridiculous scene where he's like breaking into the compound and just like beating the shit out of everyone. And Channing Tatum, who's just a cover model, has no like official training. He's just like pretending to hit people, like slapping them like as they're going down. And it's a really funny sequence and just well choreographed. A lot of energy, and Brad Pitt he knows how to like perfectly kind of underplay this character.
Yes.
And
he just steals the show. Like he stole it. And Channing Tatum, I'm a big fan, but Brad Pitt just stole the show.
I mean, there's some hunkage in this movie between Channing and Brad. I mean, that's.
And Daniel Radcliffe, if you like that kind of, like that, you know, Harry Potter type.
Yeah. He is in this. He is definitely in this. And so, yeah, I guess why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we'll get into spoilers for The Lost City. All right, we're back, and we're going to get into some spoilers for The Lost City. So a main spoiler right off the top is that right after Brad Pitt's character does this spectacular rescue scene, and there's a great shot, like them running away in slow motion and him kind of like tossing his long hair back. It's just really perfectly played. And this is all like within the first 40 minutes. So the movie is like moving really well for the first act for sure. So yeah, they get her out of the compound. They get her to the car and he's like trying to like undo her restraints on the chair.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, why are you so good at what you do? He's like, I'm just doing the best I can with what I have. And he gets popped right in the face by like a long range sniper gun.
Oh yeah.
And it's bloody. I appreciate that it's bloody. It's really like the only time things get bloody. But yeah, like brains all over Channing Tatum and like brains in his mouth.
Yes.
That becomes kind of like a joke. And so yeah, Brad Pitt is done. And the movie, unfortunately, just kind of loses its comedic momentum fast.
It does, yeah.
And that's really the problem. The movie peaks because it, like, the whole sequence with Brad, everything leading up to it, it's really moving fast. It's pretty watchable. It's pretty entertaining. The Brad Pitt scene is delivering big laughs, and then he's gone. And the point of doing something like that, like killing off a big star in the first act, is to tell the audience, like, hey, anything can happen.
Anything can happen. I can kill off anybody.
Yeah. It's a bold move and like well cast with Brad Pitt, but the movie just doesn't sustain that comedy momentum. I mean, there's a couple funny scenes with Sandra and Channing, but it mainly becomes like more like a traditional adventure type movie. Like we got to find this fucking
headdress of fire, or like the crown of fire or something. Something of fire that's in her books.
The first half, you know, everything leading up to, you know, Brad Pitt getting popped, it feels like it's definitely kind of like winking at the like romance adventure genre. It's winking.
Yes.
It's winking at it. And then it just kind of embraces it. And it's like, this is what we are. And now it's a romance adventure movie, kind of dialing down the comedy a little bit. And yeah, it's just a shame it couldn't sustain it. And the movie feels long.
It does. It feels long. I don't, honestly... You know, remembering the ending is tough for me because I felt like it was too long and I'm just sitting there and I'm bored and like ready to go.
I mean, that sucks when a movie takes you from I'm loving it.
I know.
To when the hell is this going to end?
I know. And it's dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a bit of a drop off, unfortunately. And so, yeah, we get scenes with Channing Tatum, you know, trying to be a hero. A lot of what I found funny about his character is that he's very insecure.
Very insecure.
And he has no physical training of any kind, and he's really out of his depth, but he wants to impress her, and he really wants to be the hero.
Yeah.
And so I thought Channing was really good at kind of conveying that insecurity. And we get a scene with leeches. She's pulling leeches out of his ass.
Yeah. It was a nice ass.
We find out he's got a huge hog, right? Like, she sees the front and she's like, whoa. And he's like, what, is it a leech? She's like, no, you're fine. So, yeah, that's great to know. And yeah, there's a couple of chase sequences. And then, like, they evade Harry Potter. But he comes back in the end. He's kind of off screen for a while. He re-enters the movie. And there's a big action scene where they kidnap her. And he chases them down on a bike.
Yeah.
And so here he actually kind of proves that he's like a bit of a hero. He kind of rises to the occasion. And it's a decently done kind of set piece. She's like inside the van. And to create a distraction, she like pours alcohol all over the place and sets it on fire. Like drops a cigar down.
Yeah.
And Channing Tatum, he's on like the hood of the bus at some point. It's a pretty good scene. And then they all get to the Lost City at some point.
Well, they get to the tomb.
They get to this tomb to find whatever the fuck they're looking for.
Yeah. They get to the tomb and Daniel Radcliffe makes her tell him like what's going on and reading the hieroglyphics and makes her go with him to the tomb or whatever. And then they open the tomb. And Daniel Radcliffe realizes that the headdress was all seashells and no jewels. So he gets really pissed off. And he's like, I spent all this money and I spent all this time. And he puts them into the tomb.
And then the really dumb moment, she just happens to have a crowbar in there. And they're like, they just use the crowbar to Jimmy. I forget how she has this crowbar.
Movie magic.
She just pulls a crowbar out of her ass, literally.
Nice. I think what happened is they used the crowbar to open the tomb and she secretly took it.
Is that what happened?
When they were getting into the tomb. Yes.
Okay. I guess I missed that, but that makes sense. But yeah, they kind of crowbar themselves out of there. And in the meantime, there is a rescue mission that's being organized by Beth, her manager, and Oscar Nunez.
Yep.
He gets in on it. He's like a pilot or boat captain.
Boat captain. Okay. Yeah.
are they in a plane at some point? Did I imagine that?
They're not.
Maybe I'm confusing this with like 6 days, seven nights.
Yeah, I think you are. I mean, I don't say. Well, while all this was going on, like the volcano was erupting. So Daniel Radcliffe, like he killed all his people, all his little minions, and he was the only one to survive. And he thought he was killing Sandra Bullock and all that. Lo and behold, they get out of the tomb and they make it to the boat that just happens to be there.
Right.
Waiting for them. And they find out that Daniel Radcliffe is still in the boat.
He was going to ditch them, I guess, in the tomb.
Yeah.
And then just catch a ferry back. And this is where both of our memories are a little hazy.
Mm-hmm. Because we know he dies. We just don't know how.
I don't remember him dying, but I remember that Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum, they make him as the villain.
Yes.
And then he like panics and like tries to like run, but they're on a boat. And then from there, I forget what happens.
Yeah.
He either like goes off over the side or something else.
Yeah, I'm.
But something happens to him. But
this just goes to show you how
I was kind of checked out by this point, to be honest.
Bad the ending was that we can't recollect if they killed the main villain.
Yeah, because they were treating him like a poor chap who needed to be rescued. And they're like, oh, he's the bad guy. And then something happens.
Yeah.
But, the important thing is that Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum, they end up back on the mainland.
They do, and I think they get a little cozy.
And they're just continuing their romantic, cutesy banter.
I think they are falling in love.
Sure. I guess, one little moment that I thought was kind of nice is we're having like a campfire at night or something, and she's like bitching about the quality of her books.
Yeah.
And he kind of tells her that, hey, millions of people find value in these books. So you shouldn't
degrade yourself, or you shouldn't like think
don't look down on them for, you know, enjoying this. And I thought that was a nice little message in this movie. Like,
I agree.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that message is.
Well, the message is, just because you may think something is subpar doesn't mean that
it could mean the world to someone else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that, and like, your work could get somebody else through, you know,
a tough time,
a bad day, a tough time, you know, a escape from reality.
Yeah. And that's not something to sneer at or look down on.
No.
Yeah. There's huge value in that. So yeah. And that little message was delivered by Channing Tatum. And again, I think they have a solid chemistry. You might be right. Like, she and Ryan Reynolds, that might top it.
Well,
maybe.
I think
but they have a decent chemistry.
I think her and Ryan Reynolds are more age appropriate than Channing Tatum and her.
True. You can't really tell what age Sandra Bullock is.
I mean, she's in her 50s.
Doesn't look it.
No, doesn't look it. But, you know. Audience, you know, knows,
yeah, I hear you.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I thought, like, he did a great job, but I thought he was miscast. I thought that.
You thought Channing was miscast?
Yeah. I don't believe in their love story.
I guess Channing, I mean, outside of Brad Pitt, Channing was my favorite aspect of this. But, I mean, you might be right. I mean, they don't have, like.
I just want more realistic expectations.
They have a good comedy banter. The romantic banter might be a little more forced.
Yeah.
But the comedy banter, I thought they were working it the best they could. And that's, yeah, I mean, you know, happy ending. They're just, are they making out in the end? Or they're
I think so.
Okay. We'll say that. They're doing something. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the movie. What grade would you give this?
I would give it a C.
Interesting.
I would give the first half an A.
Yeah.
Second half an F. So
that comes out to a C.
Average it to a C.
Okay. I'll be like, the first half is like an A minus. The second half is like a C minus.
Yeah.
So I'm going to come in at a B minus.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
When we were walking out of it, you were like, I could have watched that at home. I could have watched that streaming, like on Paramount Plus or something. And that's, I mean, that's an interesting sentiment, because I feel like these are the types of movies that theaters need more of.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm not.
Movies that aren't blockbusters, but can still draw in a broad range of people.
Yes. The rom-coms, I get it. But I want to see more, like, not these cheesy action adventure, you know.
Just do a straight comedy.
Duo. Like, I want, like, another You Got Mail. I know it's stupid, but, or, like, Sleepless in Seattle. And so, like, I want a romantic comedy, but I want something that.
It doesn't need, like, a big.
I can relate to. I can't relate to this movie.
It doesn't need a big over-the-top fantasy adventure element. Because when you tend to that element, the comedy just, by default, it goes to the back burner. Because you have to deal with all this adventure fantasy nonsense. So, yeah.
So, like, when, and, you know, don't get, like, I want to see more original stuff in theaters, on the big screen, and all of that. But when you try to put so much into the movie itself, you lose something.
Well, you're creating more threads that you have to pay off.
Yeah. I mean, I lost interest in this movie, and I hate to say it, and, you know, this movie really does lose my interest halfway through, and it tells you something when I can't even remember the ending of the movie. Because I was so in La La Land, and I was so like, do, like, let's get out of here. Like, my attention was, let me look at my phone, you know, twiddling my thumbs. I think it was fidgeting. You were telling me to stop fidgeting. Like, the whole shebang.
Yeah. Yeah. That was all happening. That was all happening. But no, I mean, really, if people do want a laugh out loud comedy that keeps the laughs coming beginning to end, they should check out Tiny Dancers. That's the movie that fits that bill.
Oh, that was a good plug.
It's streaming right now on Amazon Prime Video. But I think we're kind of in agreement here. I give it a higher grade just because we don't see movies like this anymore on the big screen where it's driven by the personalities of the movie stars.
Yeah.
So is this a good date movie?
Yeah, I think it probably is.
For sure.
I wouldn't say it's like the best movie, but you know, obviously with my C rating, but
I think you and your date, you'll be enjoying it for the first half.
Yeah,
for sure. You'll be like, I'm glad we came. And then, I mean, after that, it's up to you.
Yeah.
Maybe you leave. I don't know. So yeah, that's The Lost City, directed by Adam and Aaron Nee. You can find more episodes at anchor.fm/movie date night, as well as on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, where you can rate and review. Don't forget to check out our feature film, Tiny Dancers, which is streaming right now on Prime Video. We're on Twitter at DN Movie Podcast, and you can also email us at date night movie podcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Patrick.
I'm Ashley.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.